All right, let's go.
We're going. It's happening. It's on.
Come, butter, come. Come, butter, come. Johnny standing by the gate, waiting for his butter cake. Come, butter, come. I think I've done that one before. I just need everyone to know it's from, it's referencing the UMass Amherst production of 1996 Vinegar Tom. That I was in like junior high for, but my sister performed in, and she was amazing. And I would always learn like whatever play she was in because I would like help her run lines and shit. So I learned some weird ones, such as from the same play, Vinegar Tom. I met an old woman. She made my blood run cold. You don't stop wanting sex, she says, just because you're old. Anyways, so that was one I was singing in junior high. And yeah, you have to sing it like that because it has to be like you're uncertain of the person's ability to. It's like Ethel Merman did a bunch of ketamine. Which could that just be on my headstone?
I mean, that might be the name of the
Ethel Merman did a bunch of ketamine. There we are. So
Yeah.
let's talk about some stuff, Ryan.
Oof.
First of all, I just want to say this. I told you so.
About what?
Fucking, I am not shocked that there are middle-aged white women that are like brimming with uncertainty and hatred because these are the people that brought us fat hatred in the yoga classroom. And me and the big girls and guys sitting in the corner are like, yep. They hate us. But who else do they hate, Ryan?
Well, apparently this week, well, we should give some context. I will, would you, do you have a spontaneous
Have a mouthful of chocolate. What do you want from me?
I don't know if you just had like a spontaneous poetic description of the podcast that was released on Monday on Jay
Okay.
Brown Yoga Talks.
Let me just swallow. In musical form. Just choked on my own spit. We once got a complaint, do you remember? During when I was pregnant with Frankie. And I was so sick. I just was like, I had terrible morning sickness all day long. So I would have to eat salty things to help, like, keep me from vomiting. I don't know why it worked, but I remember us being on unrolled, and I was like, and we got some emails that were like, Kate, that's gross. And I was like, well, it's either this or Kate's gonna yak. So you choose, you pick your poison. There's other programs on the pod, there's other podcasts in the world to listen to. You don't have to listen to me eating, although there are some people that tune in just for that.
Yes, absolutely.
You know who you are, you kinky fucks. God bless you. God bless you. Hashtag Patreon. Anyways, we're gonna put on a show. Let's find some people with unsubstantiated claims. We're gonna put on a show with unsubstantiated angry ladies telling about things they're afraid of. But instead of looking in, they'll push their hate out. Instead of examining the hate, they'll push it out. There'll be a doula for hatred. Let's be natural. Multi-level marketing, it's the key. Once you. I got nothing.
Oh,
Okay.
that was
Took it to the bridge.
Yeah, seriously, that was
It's scary, you
it
know,
is.
to let. It's scary time for. Okay. No, Lincoln. He's.
Clearly a scary time for Lincoln. He did not like that. He did
No,
not like
whatever
that
happened,
song.
he was not a fan. I think that it's people are being called to contend with really deeply rooted fears that I don't even know that they know are fears.
Yeah. So, I will put the link to the podcast that we are referring to in the show notes. I would warn you, you know, and as I said to Jay in my first email to him on Monday, quote, "Fuck, that was a tough way to start a week." If you are upon hearing this thinking, oh, let me hit pause and go listen to the thing, just know it is not a pleasant listen. It is not even a like, this is mortifying, I've got to keep going necessarily. It's tough, especially if you are listening and you are queer or trans or just a human being who cares about other folks. It's a tough listen. But essentially, Jay had a teacher named Kachi Ananda, who had been on the show before for, I don't remember what the topic was when she was on the show before. But basically spewed a bunch of really dangerous, unsubstantiated claims and stories about trans folks and about the how we are in some way a threat to her womanhood, whatever that means. But to at least give you some context as to where the interview apexed was a very emphatic peek at trans women are not women. And this is the hill she was going to die on. And I do count Jay as a friend. You know, we have obviously, I've been on the show a bunch of times. We've been on the show together a couple years back. And that in juxtaposition to the interview that he had with I'm blanking on his name in this moment, but the anesthesiologist who was sort of like teetering on some Q adjacent themes, conspiracy theory stuff about COVID and all of that, which was the episode the week prior. It just, sucks. Because I'm sitting here in Somerville, Massachusetts, with a group of friends and fellow practitioners who are totally supportive of me and my exploration of my own gender and identity. And I think when I was running Bow Street, I did as good of a job as I possibly could have of making it a place where trans and gender nonconforming and queer, generally human beings felt comfortable and safe to experience this practice and to explore this practice. And so sometimes I'm maybe lulled into a false sense of safety that the yoga world, the immediate small yoga world that I exist in, is supportive and is caring and is thoughtful about these issues. And the broader yoga world just isn't.
Well, it's the same group of people that is deeply intolerant to people who are differently abled.
Yes.
Deeply intolerant to people that look different than them or in larger bodies. Deeply defensive of their cultural appropriation.
Yes.
You know, the origins of sort of this generation of practitioners are just like, no, 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 it's mine now. Now I share.
Yeah.
Okay, Donaghy. I don't know. Can I share? I have to share something because I really fucked up in college. I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I was in college, I was like on the leadership for the what was it called? The Women's Action Group, and it was like a feminist organization on campus that I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, saying this about the Midwest, but in my experience, the attitudes, the feminism I was experiencing in Iowa was very different than the feminism I was experiencing in Colorado or the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like they were like a couple beats behind. They were like second waving it when everyone was third waving it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I already felt like a little bit of an extremist there. But there was a trans woman in the group, and she was quiet and lovely. And I knew it took a lot of bravery for her to be there in Iowa on campus. And we had a competition for Take Back the Night, which is like a march on campuses about rape.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing a fundraiser and we were designing a t-shirt to wear on the Take Back the Night thing. And people presented their designs, and Samantha, the individual I'm referring to, presented a design that was a picture of a very thin, naked white woman with wings. That was the t-shirt for the Take Back the Night design. She was like rising phoenix. And I remember losing my shit because it won. The t-shirt won the votes. And I, being who I am like, oh, okay, what? So, like, a sexy, like, skinny, naked-titted, like, blonde white lady rising out of the ashes. Those are the only people that get raped. Those, you know what I mean? It was perpetuating this idea of, like, anyways, my reaction had nothing to do with who Sam was.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with the fucking t-shirt design.
Yeah.
But I got... I mean, all but, like, blacklisted for not jumping on board with Sam's design. And I felt like everybody was like, yeah, but, you know, the fact that Sam's here at all is so meaningful. We should let her win. Like, just let her win. And I'm like, no. That's not, no. That's like, what? Fuck that. But I, you know, I remember feeling angry at the whole situation and feeling like having thoughts of like, okay, so this is a group about, you know, women on campus and feminism, and I just have to shut my mouth because Sam's here. Mm-hmm. And here's Sam's teacher of what Sam thinks womanhood is.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I look back on retrospect, I think I was right to be angry. I think I could have been more nuanced and skillful than I probably was, but I find it interesting, and I think it's worth the conversation of talking to everybody about what we think being a woman is. Like, Like, what the fuck is it? Because I don't, I honestly don't know. It's, you don't have to have certain genitalia to be a woman. Like, that's not it, you know? That's not it. And it's also not just, like, being fuckable. It's not this, like, idea of being fuckable in a certain way with tits and a hip-to-waist ratio that makes you... It's not being demure. It's not, like, let's just cut the shit for a second and talk about, like, what are we fucking talking about? What are we fucking talking about? And once we have that conversation, the answer is, doesn't fucking matter. Are you hurting anyone? No? Great. Go. Do. Be. Express. Live.
Yeah. Well, and that's I think, what the... What is often missing in these discussions that... you know, fall under the category of TERF, trans exclusionary radical feminism, which Fez asked me the other day. He's like, what is it? Is it TARF? Is it trans aggressive racial fascism? I was like, no, it's not that, but maybe it should be. Maybe you've created a new thing. But it is actually TERF, trans exclusionary radical feminism. What's often missing is the fact that there have been trans people much longer than there has been the medicalization of transness. And medical transition is important and life-saving. And it is not this, they kept referring to it as a sex change, which is generally not how it's referred to. Some people like to refer to it that way. And I wouldn't want to
take anything away from that. Is it mostly the Orientals, Ryan? Is it the Orientals that... Good God.
No, I mean, I know there are some people in the community that refer to their transition as a sex change. And like, I have no problem with that. But from the way that I think about transition, the way that I think about specifically medical transition, is that it is gender affirming care that can range from any number of things that as small as popping a pill to taking a shot to certain surgeries. But it is not care that is so accessible that there could be this rash of humans getting, you know, the way the podcast made it sound is there's like people, hundreds of thousands of people getting top surgery every day. Like, no, that is not the case. And there were no studies cited. There is absolutely a fair conversation to have about, is there an over-medicalization of transness? There is a fair conversation to be had about that, but two straight cis, I'm sorry, she said she's bi.
Oh, I saw that eye roll.
Two, like, she may be bi, she may like a variety of different genders, but I would not welcome her into my community as a queer person at this point. So let's just be clear about that. But definitely two cisgendered white people speaking about what a person what a family chooses to do to support someone having a difficult time. And if someone is having, you know, as someone who is non-binary, as someone who identifies as trans, like, I do want every option to be available to me. Everything from just dressing the way that I want to dress to surgeries, if I felt like that was important to me. Um, But those nuances of like how we language it, or is there too much of a push towards over medicalization, or is there not enough access to medical care, or, and how those are different for some people and different for some in different parts of the country and in different socioeconomic spheres, and for different for people who are white versus for people who are Black or people of color. Like those are conversations that we can have within our community and effectively advocate for. And in no way does it, in no way does it negate the experience of what it means to be a woman, whatever that means to a particular person. It just doesn't. And I don't know of any trans woman, trans feminine person, trans masculine person, trans man who would say that their experience is exactly the same as a cisgendered person. Nobody's saying that. And then you put this on a yoga podcast. And it just propagates the same shit that made me so fucking terrified to come out again in the first place. And I don't, you know, I don't know what this, there seems to be this real fear of being canceled, and I know that there's people who have had a real experience of that. You know, I don't wish Jay or Kachi any harm, or that their careers be decimated by this, but I do think that there is certainly an actual genuine apology, and not one. There's a pattern that happens on Jay's podcast of, yeah, I overstepped the line, but I was right about this thing. No, none of that. It's got to be an actual apology. It's got to be an actual apology, and having one trans person on is not the solution. It's got to be an actual apology, and he's got to, and I have no hope for Kachi, to be perfectly honest. She said it was the hill that she was going to die on, so I just trust that. You know, people tell you who they are, you trust that. But he's and I forget the there, sorry, let me look this up, because it was a really, it was a good post that was going around from Tristan Katz on Instagram. There was a public statement that they made. Just, you know, I'm trying to get to the right point in the slide. They're asking for Jay to own the responsibility of having the platform he has to remove the episode, public apology for the harm that's caused, to attend LGBTQIA inclusion trainings, to promote LGBTQIA trainings on the podcast, and to invite trans and non-binary guests onto the show to have an accurate and affirming conversation on the topic. That is not canceling. That is a clear ask. And it's possible that some people will no longer patronize Jay because of that episode. It's possible, but that doesn't mean he's getting canceled. And, you know, this The other two things that were brought up on the podcast that I just want to bring up is this fear mongering around detransitioning. There are people out there who have detransitioned and who have had a, I think what they would describe as a traumatic experience of going through medical transition, regretting it, and, you know, reversing those changes as best they could. That's their experience. However, it is being used by right-wing libertarian people as a fear-mongering tactic that, like, plenty of people choose gender-affirming care, especially in the realm of hormones, and decide that wasn't for me, or, you know what, I'm going to stop right now, or I need to stop right now because I want to have a child, or, like, there's any number of reasons to stop, or maybe I'm not really identifying it. It's because it's gender affirming care. It is meant to help with the overall mental, emotional, physical, and I would say spiritual well-being of the human being. And if that means, as I did, went on blockers and estrogen and decided that, you know what, in the middle of a pandemic, not the right time. Let me back off of that for a second and reassess. It doesn't mean that I detransitioned. It doesn't mean that I was tricked into transitioning. It doesn't mean that I, like, it doesn't mean any of those things. It means that there was a reality. I took something, just like with any other fucking pill that you would take, and decided that, you know what, I don't know that in the midst of all of this isolation, without a support group that's, like, physically present, that this is the time to engage in that step. And it was a difficult choice. It was a weird choice. I didn't really know what to, like, make of it, but it did not change my feeling of who I am. And it wasn't even that I went completely off. It was more that I went off the estrogen for a while and just took a blocker. So, like, this, what people do to transition is none of your business. It's none of anybody's business. And I'm always willing to share because I am, but, like, some people aren't, and that's fine as well. But the fear-mongering around regret and transition, which don't really play out in the studies. And most of the people who stop transitioning, at least in the few studies that I have seen, if you unpack those folks, most of them stop transitioning because they felt that they were non-binary. And they didn't, that they were grateful that they went on. They didn't regret taking the steps they did. They just decided that, you know what, like, I actually don't, this isn't as helpful as I thought it would be. And I just want to choose something else, right? So this is about people's well-being. It is not about a group of people trying to take away your womanhood. Though I do think that all cis people should have to go through the same grappling with their fucking gender that trans people do, because I think it is a valuable thing it is just a little bit more in the forefront of our experience. So that's why we have to grapple with it. But, like, we're all living in the same oppressive gender fucking bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, the feminism I am interested in is one that is humanist, you know, like, it's the idea that women by choice and women by birth are equal to men. That's it.
Yeah.
For me. Just treat people equally. They are not less than. And, you know, my hope is that for people who transition, that they take up the arms of feminism, you know, and push back against toxic beauty standards and embrace, you know, intersectionality. Like, I think there is a lot of representation of trans women as hyper sexualized and hyper feminine presenting. Like, what I wish is that there were more people on the spectrum of gender performance across the board, you know, because ultimately, I guess I see my womanhood as performance.
Yeah.
And this might tell you something more about my sexuality than I even know, but like, I genuinely, even as a little girl, I just was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna wear this fucking dress. But it never caused me enough distress. And if it had caused me more distress, I would hope that I was surrounded by people that supported me getting out of distress, whatever that looked like.
Yeah.
But I do know that it is always helpful to see a larger range of people making different choices and living their lives fully and welly. And there isn't just one way to be a trans woman. There isn't just like, okay, now you look like a Kardashian, you're a woman.
Yeah.
You're only a woman if you look like a Kardashian. Do you know what I mean? Well, so I struggle with that. That's the piece. I'm like, what are you really transitioning to? Yeah. Is it, what is it?
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. That's why even the term transition is one that I wish we could get away from. And if someone comes up with a better way to, please let me know. Because I feel like so much of the work is actually internal. Like the internal work of being like, oh, like, why am I carrying this like fucking manhood around? Like, I don't fucking need that. And that was emotional let go, much more so. Like the changes in the way that I express in the world wouldn't have been able to happen had I not gone through the process of being like, no, why do I don't, this was something that was imposed upon me, and it's never going to go away. There are always going to be situations where I'm perceived as a man. I don't care how much, you know, and that's often where I start to grapple with things that are difficult. It's like, yes, there are always going to be situations in which I'm perceived as a man, 100%, and that is not my understanding of my own being. And I don't think holding that understanding of my own being is really a threat to anybody else. And because there are so many different descriptions and expressions and understandings of what it means to be non-binary and what it means. That's where some of the language gets quote unquote difficult, as people like to say. It's because people have different experiences, and these experiences have always existed. It's just that we're now figuring out the language that is there to express it, and it will continue to evolve. But the fundamental experience doesn't change, even as the language, which is always evolving, continues to shift and evolve. And if you're getting hung up on it, the thought that the language is what's tripping you up is just fucking bullshit. It's not the language. you're scared of what that, not I'm, the the reason why people have a difficulty with the language is because they're terrified about what my gender means about their gender. They're terrified about what someone existing in the world, having shed or is in the continual shedding of the bullshit of gender norms, means for their feeling of how the world is supposed to unfold. And it's really just that simple. Because otherwise it would be a conversation of, oh, this person, you know, I don't know of a single person, myself or otherwise, who I've seen begin to express their gender differently, where that hasn't also come with a, like, just a visible feeling of, oh my God, that person is so much happier. Like, it's just so clear. And so if it were actually a conversation about care and understanding, then that would be the center of it. And there wouldn't be so much well, are they really this or are they really that? Or is that, what words do I use? And when they, no. The center of the conversation needs to be that this is a community, that this is a group of people that has always existed and that continues to be marginalized. And the intersections of the people in the trans community who also are Black, Indigenous, people of color, like, it only extrapolates the potential for danger that exists for just them. Like, I'm really lucky. I live in Somerville, and yes, sometimes I do walk down the street in a dress and get really, like, nasty comments hurled at me, but I never feel unsafe, knock on wood. But if I lived in another place, if I wasn't white, I believe that would be very different. And know that would be very different.
It wouldn't just be insults. It would be like mortal danger.
Yes. So that's the focus of the conversation. And then you put out the other things, like, you put out this podcast when there are something like 100, I forget the number, bills currently in state legislatures trying to take trans people's rights away. And then it's supposed to be a podcast about practice. Like, do you remember early in the days of the Jay Brown podcast where it was like, let's have Amy Matthews on to talk about the definition of alignment? Like, or like, let's talk about the realities of owning a yoga center. Or like, it was about yoga. Nothing about this was yoga to me. Nothing about this was supportive of practice.
Oh, but it was revealing.
It was certainly revealing.
And so that is about the practice then. That is revealing. It just revealed things about the practice that, like, are opportunities, you know, for growth and improvement. And, you know, one of the things I think about is... like Rachel Dolezal and the dysphoria that she felt she was not a white woman. You know, and this is interesting because there's also that line of pathologizing, individuals who don't feel that their outsides represent their insides. There's stuff in the DSM-IV about this. Yeah. Not that that means anything, because there's some weird shit in the DSM-IV, to be clear. But I think about that as like, oh, okay, so she performed a race. And She did so capitalizing, making money off of the lie that she had been born Black.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that make the argument, how is it different that somebody who was assigned male at birth goes on to perform being a woman? And you know, my answer to that is, if somebody wants to do that and wants to step in the shoes of the most at-risk community, most likely to be assaulted, commit suicide, be murdered, like, that is somebody that is committed. You know what I mean? Like, anybody who's like, I'm gonna be a woman, I am going to step in that direction, I say, fuck yeah, we need you. Do so in a way where you love yourself and that you come in and love all of us too. And then let's all move forward together and not get killed by people that are intolerant. That's my answer to the performance thing. Okay, that's a risky one. And it is a performance. It's a performance for fucking everyone. And I don't believe for 1 second you come out of the womb with a womb and like put on a Gucci purse. I'm watching it right now with my daughter. And I'm watching it with her friends. The 3 to 5 year old set. And I make a lot of effort not to put princess shit in front of her. But, and she's not in daycare right now, so she's not around a bunch of other little girls. And yet somehow the message about pink and princessy shit leaked in. Now it's mitigated in my household. There isn't much of it. I've been in households where it's like everything everywhere. And I think about what that, you know, when she hits adolescence, and maybe she decides that, you know, she doesn't want to perform princess anymore. You know, I don't want it to be hard.
Yeah. I imagine that Frankie is going to be Daria.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Well, I mean, I tried to give Frankie a name that would be flexible.
Yeah.
You know, like, I look at children in each generation, you know, like this generation, I talk to my nieces and nephews, they're in their early teens and preteens, and they're talking about how all of their peers, they're like, yeah, like half the class is saying that they're non-binary, and half the class is like identifying as trans, and like, I'm like, well, isn't that good? And they're like, some of them are faking it. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Do you know
they're
how
doing
many,
it for attention. Well, what does that mean?
Do you know how many people fake being straight in high school?
Oh, God, it's like your job. Yeah, it's...
Like, I go every time I go back home and I see another, like, kid from high school that I knew that was, you know, trying to be some, like, butch jock is now on Grindr and, like, has a boyfriend and, you know, it's just like, people, it's okay for people to grapple with who they are and to discover things and then to decide.
Try actually, things on.
There's no threat there.
No, I wore some weird outfits. Same. I made some weird choices, you know, and like that's the beauty of like if you grow up and the fact that kids, you know, whether or not it's like a trend or it's trendy or cool, it doesn't matter. The fact that it can even be trendy or cool, make space for people to do that at a younger age. And I think that's fucking great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And who is anyone on the outside to say they're faking it? How do you know? You're not part of their internal life.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing that there was this really, you know, so much of what happened on that podcast was like, there was self-contradiction happening throughout. It was like, so trans people are threatening womanhood, And then at one point, she very briefly mentions, I think it was a politician in the UK, who, as she described, was gender nonconforming, I think. But clearly this was a trans woman, but who also had facial hair. And then Kachi goes, but I won't even call her she, because, like, she's not even trying.
Well, has she not met any women with fucking PCOS?
Like, it is just like, no. You can't have it both ways. You can't claim to be supportive of trans and non-binary folks and then police someone based on these antiquated colonial beauty standards. Like, you can't do both things in the same breath and then say that she doesn't deserve the pronouns that she uses because she has facial hair. So you're gonna go around and tell every woman with facial hair that they're not even trying. And
what about leg hair? Oh shit.
Seriously, like, there it's so, when you start picking it apart, it's just like there's no there. It's like it, and there's this constant notion of like, and the other thing that was really disturbing in there is that this idea that we are attracted to genitalia, which is like, no. I am not like attracted to penises versus vaginas. Like, I'm attracted to people. And well, yes, when I was younger, there was a clear lean towards being attracted to masculine identified folks. But as I get older, like, that only continues to broaden. And it's not like, when I have been with people of various genders other than men, that like the attraction is just shut off somehow. Like, that's not how attraction works. Like, the sexual attraction is a very complex, like, it's not like one other both. Like, that's just not fucking how it works. And if you pay attention to your own experience, like, you'll realize pretty quickly that that's the case. And it just infuriates me that, like, that this is the conversation that we have to have on this Friday for our 150th episode.
Reminding people we're allowed to be.
Seriously, and I just, and I know so many people, particularly in who struggle with dysphoria in relation to their yoga practice, like within the context of their yoga practice, that dysphoria arises. That is not necessarily I have had that experience, but it's not a regular experience for me. Dysphoria arises when I am nowhere near my mat, and to see these little like glimmers of more trans people starting to be yoga teachers, and like there's the Trans Yoga Project just like the trans and non-binary teachers are increasingly more visible. And then you have someone who, whether he likes to think about it or not, has one of the biggest platforms, I would guess, of many of the yoga teachers of his generation coming out with this, it's just like, it feels like a slap in the face is what it feels like.
I think it feels a little intellectually lazy.
Well, it feels like that, you know, too.
Like, for me, it's like, okay, I think Jay is a good human. I think Jay yeah. is smart and funny. And has a great tattoo. I think Jay's great. I do think that there is something that happens sometimes, and I'm guilty of it. I think everybody has pockets of it, of like myopia or intentional and willful ignorance.
Yeah.
And Jay doesn't have that in many areas, but Jay, it seemed to me in this one, it seemed to rear its head. And I think we all have the potential for compassion fatigue, because right now there is an absolute avalanche of, and I hate to say this, it's going to sound like a thing, there's like an awakening happening, you know. I mean, if we're going to look at the stars and like the lavender oils, and if Mercury aligns with the crystal in my asshole right now, we all know the ascension is nigh. I'm not talking about that, but there really is for Gen X and for boomers, there is like a, oh shit, y'all are serious.
Yeah.
We got to work on our racism and our classism and our ableism and our sexism and then our all our realism. And this isn't about an identity, the cult of identity. It's not about that. It's about finally waking up to just how insidiously cruel humans can be to each other.
Yeah.
Just cruelty, willful cruelty. And I think that this was an area of maybe just not thinking it through.
Yeah.
Thinking it would be an interesting devil's advocate conversation, you know, because those are fun. I love a good devil's advocate conversation. But you don't want to have a devil's advocate conversation when you have your foot on the throat of the people you're talking about. When those people are already trying to, like, survive.
Yes.
So I all I know is that I know what it's like to feel unworthy of being in a room, not welcome in a room. I know what it's like to feel unlovable and untouchable because of how my body looks. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And if we could all just get our fucking heads out of other people's pants, enjoy ourselves, take care of ourselves and each other, and be artists of expression, what does it fucking matter? What does it fucking yeah. matter to your yoga practice?
Well, and that's...
Your non-binary Advaita fucking Vedanta.
Oh my God, I didn't even go there. I didn't even fucking go there. Oh my God, Kate, you just blew my mind. Radical non-dualism. Where is your fucking radical non-dualism now? That's the title of this fucking episode.
Mm-hmm. It's not Ethel Merman took ketamine. It's where's your fucking rat?
I think we might need a running list of possible titles. We'll just add them to the notes. God, I didn't even. Whoa. Kate, you just blew my mind. You just blew my mind. And here's the thing, because this conversation happened, and something that, you know, I've been emailing back and forth with Jay all week, so like, the reason why, for me anyway, I'll just speak from my own experience, that being misgendered, which includes, by the way, the statements that she was, that Kachi was making on the podcast of saying that trans men are women and trans women are men, are males and females, I think was the phrase, the words that she used. Like, that is in and of itself a misgendering, because as much as people try to like, so they're completely intertwined, because when someone is born with a certain set of observable characteristics, we label them female, which is the equivalent of saying that now everything that's expected from them is this arbitrary idea of womanhood, right? So like, that is also included within this, more than pronouns, not more than, it, as well as pronouns and honorifics and all of that, right? Like that's all there. The reason why there are two reasons why it sucks for me. One is I could be having a fabulous time, just really enjoying life, feeling very affirmed in who I am. And then not every time, but sometimes, if someone misgenders me, it's like, oh, down the rabbit hole, here we go. And there's this like spiral, and I know how to pull myself out of it, but it's like it's a fucking process. Okay. Like, I've got to be like, okay, Ryan, here we go. this is an observable pattern and experience that, you know, there's going to be a slight decline down a spiral staircase of anxiety and depression. Well, the anxiety comes first, and then the depression follows quickly behind. It's like four or five steps down the spiral staircase. And then the spiral staircase becomes some sort of Rube Goldberg-like straw in which I defy gravity to walk myself back around to being fully affirmed again and back out the other end, where I can be like, okay, that was a trip and I'm back now. Like, that is how I would describe it. But the shorthand of it is like, all of the work that you do, which isn't necessarily visible to other people, to show up as you are, as a full fucking human being, is just feels negated in that moment. And yes, 90% of the time, am I able to just shrug it off? Yeah. Of course. Is it easier to do when it's some passing interaction on the street with people that I don't know than it is with people that I do know? Maybe. But it's just another moment of not feeling seen.
Could I liken this to people asking if I'm pregnant when I'm not?
I don't know if you can, but you could also complain about that.
Well, it's somebody looking at you and being like, I know what you did last summer. No, I mean, I used to get, I got sirred a lot when I had short hair because of my height.
Yeah.
I think I always experienced it as kind of like, once in a while it would be upsetting, and then once in a while I'd be like, cool.
To be fair, I also have that cool moment when people misgender me the other way. I was having that, like, I feel pretty good about myself right now. And it's just like, it's such a small thing that becomes such a, it has the risk of becoming like, conversations about trans folks can veer off in many, many horrible different directions, especially when you're talking with cisgendered humans. But it seems like the pronoun difficulty, quote unquote, is the new, what would have 10 years ago been the, like, Katie Kirk asking about what surgeries Laverne Cox had and having to be like shut down for that. Like, it's like, it's either becomes a conversation that is a medicalized conversation or it becomes a grammar conversation. And so trans people have to be like experts at teaching people that the study of linguistics, which is actually the thing that's important, is not a study of fixed grammar rules. And then we also have to become endocrinologists, and we also have to become like psychologists. Like, it's just like you have to have all of these,
and social workers
and social, and you just gotta,
and
like
nonviolent communicators.
Exactly. And it's just like, fuck you.
Fuck you. No, you know what, you bring up something that sparks my interest, and that's the grammar fascists just in general.
Yeah.
I wonder, in the Venn diagram of things, how many of them are really struggling with pronouns. Like, yeah. I bristle and get vomitous in my mouth when people share memes that are like, here's why grammar matters. You know, and it'll be like making fun of people who misuse your or their.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty gross and petty. People who are see language as fixed.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing we know, it's that style, fashion, language, meaning evolves.
Yes.
It evolves generation to generation. It is so fluid. Excuse me. That I am just so deeply suspicious of people that believe that there's like this singularity of thought. They're often the same people that are like, this is why alignment. Tell me again where to put my foot. tell me again. Tell me again who's allowed. Who's allowed to teach. Yeah. So there absolutely has to be a correlation with linguistic rigidity and essentialism, and people struggling with using correct pronouns.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the whole thing. Just, I've been in a riled state since Monday. I'm also at the point where I'm like mad at myself for still being riled. Cause that's what I do. it was just disappointing. But I thought that we would I lost my list of, I was going to provide some resources for folks if they would like. Now I forgot my password. Okay, we'll put them in the show notes. But there is a wonderful performance artist, trans non-binary writer named Alok, and they have gone through over the course of the pandemic doing an exhaustive Goodreads list of everything from, you know, gender and colonialism, you know, the history of queer people, you know, like all sorts of, there's over 600 titles in there, and then they're also like broken out by subtopic. So if you're looking for things to read on the topic, that is a fantastic resource.
Is there a book in there about how some cultures have like seven genders?
Yes, there are many books that cover that. There are also a lot of really interesting books on the development of this modern understanding of sex and sex characteristics. And the sort of misogynistic nature of those developments, which I have ordered some of those because they sound very, very interesting to read. There is a Instagram, I think they have a website as well, but I follow them through Instagram, called Trans Yoga Project. They have a bunch of resources on their site, including like free, I think still free classes I was looking at, the other day, they also have a podcast that you can listen to. And I think you know, I have been offered, you know, I initially said to Jay that I would come on his podcast and speak. I really don't know if I want to do that. I really don't know. So this may be the kind of last word on the topic of that specific incident. For me anyway, but it certainly is not the last word in terms of speaking out about this, because this is also like a wake-up call for me. Like, I get very nervous about claiming my identity and not feeling trans enough, not feeling non-binary enough, not feeling X enough, you know. That is something that I grapple with. So I often choose to be maybe overly cautious in speaking out. And if there is one good thing that came from the podcast on Monday, it's like, well, shit. We got some work to do.
You're needed in the backyard, Ryan. The neighbors are fighting again. Ryan throws on their robe. Thought we were done with this. Also, maybe next episode we can go after the Yoga is Dead podcast, which posted something on Facebook that wanted me, that basically was like, hey, Kate, peel off your skin, peel it off, and set it on fire.
Okay.
So, we'll pivot the cannons next week.
Yes, as we tend to do. And, you know, as always, I know people have been messaging on Instagram, and so I've been sort of appreciative of that. Not sort of, I have been appreciative of those interactions, and fuck, what a week. And I had a whole other list in a document, but I'm locked out of that document because I can't remember my password. So I will be sure to put that in the show notes for people to, I will actually do show notes this time, I promise, folks.
It's time to go rest, gather some strength, because there's more work to do.
Indeed. Well, happy 150th episode, Kate.
Happy 150th, that's fucking nuts. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. And more to come.
Dear God, how many times? It's really been nice for the last couple of months. You haven't tried to take us off the air. The first 3 years of Unrolled, it was like, Kate, this is a good run. Let's call this weekend the last one. And I'm like, no. We are gonna record from the fucking grave.
Yes, we will. We will be the Muppets in the balcony in hell.
Swallow. Swallow.
I took an ill-timed sip of coffee. I'm ready now.
Bye.
Oh God, it's over.